Well, God is so good to us because He calls us by a special name. He calls us by the name children, by the name mothers, by the name fathers. And today, fathers, we're looking at how God looks at us and how the Word of God lines up with God's nature. You know, a lot of people, they come to us Christians, they come to pastors, and they want the Bible explained, and they say there's contradictions, and the reason that they find contradictions is because they're not looking for a relationship, they're looking for a religion. And what I love about Mother's Day and Father's Day is we get to talk about relationship. And honestly, you can go through the Bible and you can point out that all of these different people who wrote in here, they saw it from a different perspective and a different point of view. It does not contradict. If you look into it and you find the truth behind it and the different languages and the different cultures, the Bible does not contradict. But you know, whatever you're looking for, you find, right? So if you're looking for a relationship and you go to the Bible, you're going to find a relationship with God. But if you're looking for an argument, I've never argued anybody into heaven, not yet, and I've been doing this a long time. But when we point people to this relationship, and that's what we're talking about today, is the relationship of the Father and how that relationship transcends down to us. Dads, as you know, being a father is one of the biggest challenges that men face. You know, I kind of thought, man, I got this going on, you know, I got a job, I got married, I got, you know, all this, and then our firstborn came along, and I can remember holding Darcy and going, wow, now what? And I remember holding Melita and going, wow, now what? And Kelsey, I really went, oh my goodness, now what? But the thing about being a father is it's a grow-as-you-go role. There's no handbook other than the Bible gives us, you know, some you know, signs to point us in different, but it's a grow-as-you-go role. And so you grow through each and every one. And now some of us are growing through being parents. Some of us are growing through being grandparents. You know, some of us are just, we're all growing every day. You're either growing or you're dying, and I'd prefer to grow. So today we're going to grow in to God's plan. And you can plan, you can prepare, you can study, you can be ready, and then all of your plans can be changed in a flash of a moment, can't they? And God can just go up there and say, well, now you're going to really learn my ways. So let's take these guidelines this morning, and let's prepare for life to change. Because it changes every day. Today I want us to look at six areas that God points out. These aren't the only ones, but I just want to look at six. We could be here a long time. But six areas that God wants us to focus on. And I am so excited because I get to use an acrostic. How many of you know what an acrostic is? You know, it's a word that you use to remember things. It's a memory tool. And today we're going to use the acrostic, don't faint, bother. Okay? And as you can see, FATHER, the acrostic, stands for friend, author, truthful, hero, encourager, and rock. And so you can remember, as a father, you're supposed to be a friend, an author, you're supposed to be truthful, a hero, an encourager, and you're supposed to be a rock. So let's look at the first one, friend, okay? Now, this is not a pal who lets you get away with everything. Because I've heard of people, you know, well, I just, you know, I don't want them to be mad at me. Look, if you want to be a father, your kids are going to be mad at you. I mean, that's just part of the game, you know. I've heard, you know, I have been a very hated individual. And now I chuckle because now they're all grown and have children of their own. And now they're hated individuals sometimes. Okay, but being a friend means this, okay. A real friend is always there for you. That's what a real friend for a father. A real friend listens to you, has your back. A real friend always puts your well-being first. And Jesus modeled this ideal for us in John 15, 13. It says that greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As a father, you're going to lay down your life. You're going to sacrifice for your kids. You're going to do it. One time, somebody, you know, they were just being mean to me, and And I just wasn't responding, you know. And they said, geez, what does it take to get you mad? And I said, you can spit in my face, you can do whatever you want, but I said, you insult my kids, you endanger my kids or my wife, I will take you out. Because I'm their friend. And I've laid down my life for them. And I love them. And fathers, that's what we need to do. Now, the second thing we're going to look at here is author. Author of life. And okay, you not may not even be the biological, okay, cause of your children's life. You may not be the biological cause of your children's life. But more importantly, you know, whether that child's adopted, a stepchild, whatever, more importantly is you get to write the script of God's purposes on their heart. You're the author. You get to write the script of God's purposes on their hearts. You get to write it in their minds. You get to write it in their actions, their spirits and their actions, okay? It's in very, very important, men, that we follow God in molding the young lives around us. God is the final author of life. And God's word says that He is the author and finisher of our lives and our faith. And we need to look at Him daily and look at, to Him for wisdom and direction, and then allow Him to mold us into the person He wants us to be so that we can pass that on to our children. Philippians 1, 4 through 6 says, in all my prayers for you, I always pray for joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it out on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God's works are passed on to the next generation through us. And you got to remember something, guys. More is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. Our actions, if they don't line up with our words, kids catch what we do. Probably more than what we say. Because we say things all the time, you know, and we just, you know. Besides, how many times do kids just not listen? Not talking to anybody in the front row or anything. But anyway, sometimes it happens, right? But what we do consistently over and over, they catch. Thirdly, guys, you need to be truthful. We need to always tell the truth, but do it with grace and wisdom. Kids don't need to know everything, but they need to know the truth. And the best way that we can tell it to them. You see, being truthful also as an adult isn't trying to be perfect as an adult. Being truthful is being transparent and vulnerable. One time, I really blew it with our kids. Just once. Yeah, no, many times. And I remember God telling me, okay, Jim, you need to ante up on this one. You need to go to that child and say, hey, your dad blew it, and I'm sorry. And I've done that. I still do that to my adult kids. You know, when the Holy Spirit convicts me, it may take me a while to cool off and not be stubborn, because I am part Irish. But anyway, I can remember God, He said, you need to go to your child and you need to say, I blew it. And so I did. I went to one of the kids and I said, you know, your dad really blew it. He really blew it. I was being truthful. I was being transparent. And about three... You know, it's hard to say that to a three-year-old, thinking, wow, they're going to just think I'm a loser for the rest of my life, right? And that little girl looks up at me and says, Daddy, it's okay. We all make mistakes. You know, be truthful. Because if you're truthful, you know, we realize that there is one who is the absolute truth in our life, and that is Jesus. In John 14:16, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And our kids, if we're truthful, they can see the Father reflected in us. We need to be truthful. His word is truth. It can be trusted. God's word is something that we need to pick up every day. I'll tell you what, in the last 2 days, this same theme, God has been throwing it at me over and over. And yesterday I was listening to Waymaker, that song. This theme has just been jumping up, and yesterday it came up in a song, you know, a group of songs that it came up, it just totally destroyed me, you know, because I was focusing on Okay, the truth of God's word is that he will do this. He is the way maker. He's the miracle worker. And we need to express that truth to our children. Psalms 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Man, I've read that scripture over and over and over. This week, God just brought it. He says, "The word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." So not only do we need to be truthful, not only do we need to be vulnerable, not worry about not being perfect, because the next thing that God wants us to be is a hero. Now, you may not need a cape and a tight spandex suit, praise God, right? I don't look like Superman in one of those anymore. But you do have superpowers that you can use in the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Here are the superpowers that you have, guys. Be there so that your children can run to you and hide from the world. I always want to be available to be a place where my kids can just come, grandkids can come and hide from the world, because the world is a nasty, mean, ugly, filthy place, and the enemy uses it to destroy us and tear us up and rip us up. Guys, always be there so your children can hide from the world. Secondly, protect them and surround them with your love. The first time my dad hugged me and told me he loved me, it totally changed my life. It changed me from being an angry, bitter teenager to a teenager that had hope. Wow, if my dad can do that, anything can happen. Give them the strength when they have nothing left so that they can go on. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there. Early on in my life, my dad wasn't real perfect. He wasn't very good at all in a lot of aspects, but once he came to the Lord, he totally changed. And one time I was going through a particular, just a tough time. Just a tough time. Not in our marriage, just spiritually. I was just having a tough time, and Cindy can remember. I said, my dad's got a cabin. Nobody was up there. I said, Cindy, I'm just going to go up. I'm going to go up to, the cabin, and, I'm just going to spend a couple days just, with God. She said, okay, great, And I was up there, and I just really felt like I didn't have any strength left. I just needed to get energized. And my dad, we called back and forth. He called, and actually, I think I called him and said, hey, is anybody going to be using the cabin? I'm going to just go up there for a couple days, So sure. So the first day, I was all by myself. The second evening, I hear a car come up. His cabin's kind of up at the end of the road up there where it's at. And it was my dad, and he comes out and gets out. Comes in, and he says, are you okay? I go, well, I'm getting there. I said, I just kind of spiritually drained. And he gave me a big hug, prayed for me. Said, the best thing you can do is spend a little more time with God. I love you. Wow. So, not only did I get a hug from God, I got a hug from my dad. Guys, sometimes that's what you need to do. You just need to give your kids that hug and give them that strength and always encourage them. This is the next thing, your superpower. Always encourage them to do the right thing and follow the Lord and keep encouraging them and keep encouraging them and keep encouraging them to do the right thing and to follow the Lord. Even when it's hard, do the right thing and follow the Lord. The last superpower I want to give you is to be there whenever they need you. Guys, we get real busy, don't we? We get in what I call steamroller mode, and sometimes you need to just put down the phone, put down the shovel, put down the job, put down whatever, and you just need to be there. You need to listen. You need to be there. Psalm 32:7 says, you are my hiding place, Lord. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Wow. Can you imagine God singing a song of deliverance around you and over you? That's it. That's a pretty cool scripture. That's what God wants to give us. The fifth thing is to be an encourager. Lord, please encourage me, Father, so that I can encourage my kids to follow you. And He will. He'll encourage you guys. He will. He'll keep giving you, you know, little things in your day. People will say things. They may not even be a Christian. They'll say something and you'll just like, what? Where did that come from? Well, it came from God. Like I said earlier, more is caught than taught. Be the encourager. Be the encouragement. And Jesus is our best encourager. If we are depressed, if we are discouraged, if we're in a trial, we can go to His Word anytime and find the encouragement we need. Excuse me. Here's two. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. His own men. It's like, okay, we're just going to kill him, get us a new leader. You know, how many times has that happened in the world? Well, David was a little discouraged. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. And some stuff had happened. These guys' wives and kids were taken by another enemy. But you know what David did? But David found strength in the Lord his God. David went and got alone with God, and he found that strength. He came out. He said, okay, guys, we're going to go get him. Let's go. Let's do this. He was the encourager because he was encouraged by God. He found his strength in the Lord. Psalm 42:5 says, why so downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And then the psalmist says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. This psalm is like, look, I know things are tough, but you praise God because he will give you that encouragement you need. He will give you that strength to be the encourager. And the last thing, guys, we need to be is a rock. Stand firm in what you believe so that your children have a rock to keep them safe. Stand firm. Stand firm. You know, people, they're always like, wow, you know, are you sure you can do this? You know, you might lose your job. Or can you sure? He's like, look, if it involves my Lord and Savior and my faith, I'm sure I can do it. Because a lot of people have gone before me and they've lost a lot more than I have up to this point because they proclaimed the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our rock. And if we're going to be a rock, if we're going to be solid rock church, if we're going to be rock solid, we need to have that faith in Him so that we can stand firm in Him. Stand firm in what you believe, because whatever you believe, whatever you do, your kids will do more. So I encourage you to do the right things. Ephesians 6, at the end of that, this chapter talks about the armor of God. Paul says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. The helmet of faith, you know, all of the sword of the Spirit, you know. But you need that armor on, and you can go to Ephesians 6. But he says, put it on so that you can stand your ground. And then, this is what I love about what he says. He says, and then, after you've done everything to stand, okay, stand firm then. Because after you've done everything to stand, then plant your feet and stand firm. If you're going to protect yourself, and it doesn't matter whether it's boxing, whether it's shooting, you know, every aspect of military training, and they're talking about military training of the day, every aspect is there's a stance that you take. And it's kind of interesting that no matter what you're doing, your stance is your feet are planted just like this. And your legs are bent, and you're moving, and you're ready. You are ready to go to the side. You're ready to do whatever it takes. And you know, when every time I think about something that I'm doing, okay? So, you know, I love to shoot. I love to shoot pistols. And there's a stance that you take. You get your feet just right, because no matter what happens, you're ready. And what Paul's saying is that after you've done everything, after you've strapped on all of your armor, and you're ready, and you're prayed up, and you're going, okay, get ready, because the enemy is going to come at you, and you better be standing. He says, then you stand firm. Why? Because something's going to come. Every day of your life, something's going to come. Stand firm. You've done it all. Now stand firm then. You know, and when we look back at God, you know, we say, but God, and he goes, just stand firm. Don't move. But God, stand firm. But never. I just hear God in the back of my head. Every time I start complaining, God says, stand firm. Stand firm. You got everything. You got this. Stand firm. But God, I don't have it. Then I got it. God says, I'm right behind you. And God's right behind us, holding on. It's like, okay, stand firm. It's like, but God, I'm going to take the hit. And God says, no, you're not. The helmet of salvation is going to take the hit. The breastplate of righteousness is going to take the hit. The shield of faith is going to take the hit. And you're going to administer damage with the sword of the Spirit. You are not going to take the hit. So stand firm. That's what God's saying. Guys, be the rock. Stand firm. Now I'll tell you, take all these things and kind of hone up, kind of bone up on them, okay? And then I'm going to encourage you. Being a father is the hardest thing in the world. But it's also the most rewarding. It is worth everything you put into it. It is the most rewarding. So, as a father, be their friend. Be the author. Be truthful. Be a hero. Be an encourager. And be a rock. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You're all of those things for us. And Lord, we know that if we stand in you, we can stand. So Lord, I pray that after we do everything we possibly can, then we just plant our feet and we stand in. And we get ready. We get ready, Lord, to take on one of those roles. And Lord, we know that no matter what happens, you, our Father, will be there because you're all of those things and more. We thank you, Lord, for this. And we pray, Lord, these truths into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.